tonight, Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you for being here tonight, and good turnout for the midweek service, and we're glad you're here. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight, and we'll begin our reading in verse 8, and we'll read down to verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, did I say 13? Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Father, we thank you for letting us be here again this week. Thank you for the people that, Lord, has enough hunger for the Word of God, and enough love for their church and their Christ, Lord, to come out in the midweek service. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, that you would give them something tonight from your Word to sustain them, to enlighten them, to encourage them, Lord, in this Christian journey that we are in. Thank you for the many blessings of just this day. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings. And Lord, we pray for the lost to be saved. We pray for those of us that are saved to be stirred, to be fed, Lord, to be clean, to be filled, all the things that, Lord, we need as we journey in this Christian life. And Lord, we ask your favor tonight upon all that's going on tonight on this little plot of ground that you raised up some 42 years ago. And we thank you for all you've done and for all you're going to do. And Lord, we give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. We do thank you. Amen and amen. As we continue this little study, and I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a joy to me. It's helped me. Even though it's stuff I already knew, it's good to be reminded about it. And as we are continuing this study on asking the question and answering the question, who are we as believers? And we've already looked that we are children in our Father's family. If we've been saved, we've been birthed into His family. And He is our Heavenly Father, and He watches over us. We're sheep in His pasture, and He is the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, Chief Shepherd, Coming Shepherd. He's all those things. And tonight, if we're saved, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that Psalms 23 is a great 6 verses in the Bible. But unless you can say the first few words, it don't mean much. The Lord is my shepherd. We're members of Christ's body. He's our head. He's in heaven. We are His body. When He left with His body to go to heaven, when He left with His physical body to go to heaven, He left a spiritual body here on earth to do His work, and that's you and me. And we're His hands, we're His feet, we're His eyes, we're His lips, were His ears, were everything, were His body. And one day He'll pull our body up to where our head is when the time is right. Last week we looked at we're priests in God's tabernacle. That probably seemed the most far-fetched maybe as any of them, but it's as true as all the rest of them, that we are priests in God's tabernacle. But tonight we'll look at something that's a little bit more familiar to us. And tonight we're going to look at what it says in verse 13. The Bible says that we are strangers and pilgrims tonight as citizens in God's country. Now, when we think of a pilgrim tonight, we think of a holiday we celebrate in November. We think of turkey and dressing and lessons we had in school. We studied about John Smith and Pocahontas and a lot of other people and talked about the boat of the Mayflower, and these were indeed pilgrims, and they certainly make a type of strangers and pilgrims. But tonight, they were physical pilgrims. Tonight, you and I are spiritual pilgrims, and we too, as the Bible said, we too are strangers and pilgrims tonight as children of God in the world in which we live. The Bible says there, Hebrews 11:14, the Bible said, "For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country." And so tonight you and I are we're in search, we're seeking a country. We're not home down here. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you look there in verse 8, the Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. And so Abraham received a call, and he didn't know where he was going, just like we don't know where we're going. He said, "I know where I'm going." When we got saved, we didn't know where we was going or what God was going to do with us. And even today, we don't know what God might do with us. Brother Briley's sitting there on the front row tonight, but he don't know what God might do with him in 10 years. He don't know what church he might be pastoring or what missionary field he might be laboring in. And none of us know that. Maybe 30 years ago, you got saved and you was in a church, and in your mind, you could see yourself as always being in that church, but here you sit tonight. And things have a way of changing. God has a way of getting us where he needs us to be. And we don't know where we're going until he tells us. And then it's a walk of faith. So as Christians, pilgrims and strangers, we too have been called out. There's a book in your Bible, and the name of that book is Ecclesiastes. And that word Ecclesiastes, it comes from the word ecclesia. And that word ecclesia means called out. That's what that word means. And the word Ecclesiastes means a called out assembly. You and I have been called out. You say, what have we been called out from? Well, we've been called out from the world. We were in the world. We got saved. God called us out. And now we're still in the world, but we're kind of out of the world. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Now, the first type of this, the church is always, ecclesia is also the word for church. It just means a called out assembly. And the first picture of that we have in the Bible is Noah and his family. Noah and his family was ecclesia. They were called out assembly. They were called out of the world into an ark. That's really a first picture, if you will, of the church and the Bible in that kind of setting. And so you and I have been called out of the world. And God calls us just like he called Noah. You say, how did he call Noah? Well, Genesis 3 and 8 said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God called Noah by grace. And God calls us tonight by grace. Now, the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm not, you know, that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. But I'm not sure Noah found grace or grace found Noah. Amen. And with you and I, we say, well, I found the Lord. Did you find him, or did he find you? And I read years ago of a large church out in California and a little refugee boy that had been brought over here from Vietnam, and his name was Yam Singh. And Yam Singh got saved, and the pastor wanted him to come and stand before 2,000 or 3,000 member church and tell him about getting saved. And so he got little Yam Singh down there, and he looked out over that large crowd, and he swatted a little real hard, and the preacher said, Yam Singh, tell him how you found the Lord. And he said, me don't find the Lord. He said, the Lord found me. And that's the way it is. Amen. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. You say, well, I sought after God, not until he sought you first. He flirted with you before you ever fell in love with him. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. And if he hadn't loved us first, you and I would not have never fell in love with him. But to know him is to love him. And the reason some people don't love him is because they don't know him. But the more you know about him, the more you love him. It's like your marriage ought to be. When you first get married, you do love each other. But after you live 25, 30, 40 years ago, years together, you should love each other more. You say, why? Well, you've been through sickness together. You've been through bearing parents together. You've been through raising kids together. You've been through financial problems and hardships. And when you go through those things together, it gives you an appreciation down here that you didn't have back there because you hadn't been through that yet. So as pilgrims and strangers, we're called out by God's grace to seek a new country. Now we're called out by God's gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, the Bible said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we heard the gospel, that was the Lord calling us out. And we responded or didn't respond to that. And the Bible says that we're called out by the gospel or by preaching. Romans 10 and 14 said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they believe on that they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So we believe that God sends preachers. We don't believe, or I don't believe, that you make up your mind one day and say, I desire to be a preacher. Well, the Bible says it's not by desire. A lot of people, I might desire to do a lot of things for the Lord, but it might not be his will for me. God calls us to be saved, and God calls us through preachers as they preach the gospel. And not only preachers, but through people handing out gospel tracts and people witnessing one-on-one different places to your neighbors and friends. Those are all the ways that God calls us out. Look over in Numbers, if you would. We're talking about we're strangers and pilgrims. Look over in Numbers chapter 10. And here's the kind of way we are. Numbers chapter 10. And Moses' father-in-law, this is what he said in verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobah, the son of Raguel, the Mennonite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thou good. That's what we tell people. We're going to heaven. Come and go with us. Come to the church. Go with us. And the church will do you good. The church will help you. A good church is God's blessing for those of us that are left here in this world. And that's where we assemble together to study God's word and try to get others to go with us to heaven. Nobody ought ever go to heaven without taking somebody with them. Unless you get saved on a deathbed, or, and even then there's a possibility. But everybody ought to have one person that's going to be going to heaven because you told them about Jesus. Now, they might have got saved right on that spot when you told them, but you told them about the Lord and you invited them to church and they came and they heard preaching, they responded and they got saved, and you had a part in that. And so all of us are working, hoping to get somebody to go with us. There's something wrong if you just say, well, I got saved, I ain't worried about nobody else, I'm knowing I'm going to heaven. That's not a right attitude. One of the first true signs of getting saved is you want somebody else to go. You get burdened about somebody else. I got saved on a Sunday morning as a 10-year-old boy, Temple Hill Baptist Church, and I was quite a bit of an introvert, and I didn't talk much, real bashful, embarrassed even to talk to anybody, but yet God got a hold of my heart and called me out. And I found enough courage to go down to the altar that morning and kneel down. I cried when I went down. I cried while I was there. Cried when I got up. Cried all the way home. Cried all day. And Mama fixed dinner and the rest of the kids went in there to eat dinner. When she called them, I didn't go in there. And Mama said she'd come back there looking for me. And I was back there crying in my little bedroom. And she said, aren't you going to come eat? And I said, no, I just crying and crying. And being a good mother, she tried to be inquisitive as to what was wrong with me. And I kept saying, I don't know, I don't know. And then she'd go back, and then she'd come back, and then she'd go back, and then she'd come back. And finally, the last time she come in there, she said, are you worried about your daddy? And I busted out crying. I said, yeah, Mama, that's it. Now, I heard her get up and go down the hallway. Her house being small, I could hear her talking, and I heard her tell my daddy, Alanis, Ricky's been in there crying about you all day, and he wants you to go to church with him tonight. Well, my dad went to church. He got up, went to church with us that night. Preacher gave the invitation. Down I went. That's just the way I did forever. I just go to the altar crying. But that night when I went down, when I went to get up, my daddy was standing beside me. And a preacher asked for testimonies, and my dad had told about he'd got saved back when he was in his early 20s, that he'd got saved. And he gave a wonderful testimony. Of course, I didn't know it. I never heard it. I didn't know if he's saved or not saved because I'd never heard his testimony. That's why it's important that you give your testimony to your family. I mean, I've done funerals of couples that have been together for years, and when I don't know them, they call me to do the funeral, and I get down there, and of course the thing I'm interested in is, was they saved? And they always, a lot of times, say, well, I don't know. We never talked about stuff like that. Well, you need to talk about stuff like that. You need to talk about stuff like that. And my dad and his testimony, I remember him telling about, he just, for like weeks that he was sick, he couldn't sleep, and finally he went to a doctor. And of course, doctors back then are different than they are now. Most of them family doctors, and everybody knew him. He went to this doctor several times. And finally, the last time he went to that doctor, the doctor listened to him, examined him, and he said, Alanis, I want to ask you a question. He said, have you ever been saved? He said, no. He said, there's nothing wrong with you physically. You're under conviction. You need to get saved. And it wasn't long after that he got saved. We should want to take somebody with us to heaven, and if you're saved and you're not ever worried about anybody that's not saved, I'm not going to say you're not saved, but you're not where you need to be if every now and then you don't have somebody on your heart like that. Amen? So our old citizenship was in this world. And I know we're still citizens of the United States, but spiritually speaking, our old citizenship was in this world. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says that before we got saved, we walked according to the course of this world. In other words, we lived our life like all the rest of the world lived. But Philippians 3 and 20, I want you to look at that. Philippians 3 and 20, if you have a Scofield Bible, verse 20 says, Philippians 3, 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at that word conversation if you've got a Scofield Bible. You see that little K back? See that little K there over that word conversation? Okay, get in that center column and run it up near the top and find that word K, or that letter K, and you'll see beside it the word citizenship. Citizenship. So our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. We don't feel at home down here. And we feel less at home the more we stay down here. You remember that song? I think Marla used to sing it. McCamey's song, Do You Know How It Feels? Do you know how it feels? And there's a line in that song that said, do you know how it feels wherever you roam that you get a feeling that you're not at home? Well, that's because our citizenship's in heaven. And you don't feel that way every day, but there's going to be times in your life, and there has been times in your life when you look at this world and it just don't feel like home, because it's not home for you. Your home's up there. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes that man goes to his long home. Now, I've lived on 1721 Roseville Road for the last 35, 40 years, but that's not my long home. One day, I'll pass away. My wife will pass away. They'll put a sale sign in the yard. Somebody else will move in there, because that's not a permanent home. But I have a permanent home in heaven. That's home. And that's why we're like pilgrims and strangers down here. Like Abraham, we're looking for a country. We're looking for a city. We're looking for something that's not down here. That's not down here. Abraham, as a stranger and a pilgrim, Hebrews 11 and 9 said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. See, this place down here, it ought to seem strange. And I don't know about you, but in the last 5 years, it's got a whole lot more stranger. And he says, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. That word tabernacle is the word tent. Tent. Okay, Abraham never had a split-level home. He never had a brick home or a siding home or any kind of home. The only home Abraham ever had was he had a tent. Now, the Bible says that he never built a house. He never took abode in any city and stayed there. You say, why? Because he's a pilgrim and a stranger, and he's looking for a city. He's looking for one that's not like any he passes through. You say, why? Because Hebrews 13, 14 says that we have no continuing city down here. There is no city down here that's going to always be down here except Jerusalem. No earthly city is going to always be here. That's what the Bible said, Hebrews 13, 14. It said that he looked for a city because he knew that down here, Hebrews 13:14, he had no continuing city, or we have no continuing city down here. And it's like the illustration I use a lot of times, you know. I've used it a lot since I heard Brother Ron Lynch give it, and I found out the other day where he got it from. But the statement he made was, you may not want to go to heaven, you sure don't want to go to hell, but you can't stay here. You got to go somewhere, because down here is no continuing city. So he looked for one to come. Bible said in Hebrews 11:10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A tent don't have any foundation. It's got some tent cords. You throw it up, tear it down, next day move on somewhere else. That's the way Abraham was, a stranger and pilgrim. So as strangers and pilgrims, you and I dwell in a tent. You say, wait a minute, I got a brick house I dwell in. Yeah, physically. But spiritually, you dwell in a tent. Because 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, tent, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So you and I, we're moving about in this tent. We're living in this tent. And one day, this earthly house, this tent that you and I live in, will one day be dissolved. We're going to have to move out. And our soul and spirit's going to be left, and we can't stay here. And so we're looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And then all the way over in John 21, verse 4, or verse 2, John the Revelator writes, and he said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. That's the one we're looking for. That's the one that we're going to dwell in. That's the one that God laid the foundation stones on. It's eternal. No foundations laid on any building on this earth is eternal. So we look for our eternal home. You say, well, we need an eternal home for? Well, you got saved. When you got saved, remember, Jesus gave you eternal life. So you got to have somewhere to live it. And you can't live it down here, because this is not an eternal place. So he's made a city and a place, and your eternal glorified body, soul, and spirit is going to heaven to live in that eternal city that Jesus is going to build. Now, when a Christian dies, as I said, the tent is taken down. When a Christian dies and he moves out. I'm sure a lot of people in here has been with a loved one, dad, mom, husband, wife, friend, child, you've been with somebody when they died. Is that right? How many? All right, just about everybody's been with somebody when they died. And I know you noticed the same thing I noticed, that when they quit breathing, it's not very long at all until they get real pale, and it looks just like somebody's moved out. It's just like a house that you pass going down the road, and there's kids out in the yard, there's a couple sitting on the porch, there's curtains in the window, maybe you can see the lamp at night, and you know somebody lives in there. But a month or so down the road, you go by that same house, there's nobody in the yard, the curtains are gone, you can see through the windows, there's no furniture in there. You say, wow. They must have moved out. Well, that's what happens when you and I pass away. We move out. And we go to our new home. Amen? And a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, by the time that you get ready to move out, you're ready to move out. God's got this thing timed in such a way, it's kind of like that song, Ain't I Gonna Need This House No Longer, I'm Getting Ready to Meet the Saints. And he talks about Stuart Hamlin wrote that song, and he was out hunting one day, rabbit hunting, and it started to rain, and he took refuge in an old house, an old abandoned house. He stood in there, and he got to looking, thinking about people used to eat in the kitchen, families used to gather in the living room, and he thought about, you know, how empty that house was. And then he got to thinking about his own body and how it was getting older and how the windows was leaking and how the floors were creaking. And he said, I ain't going to need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the Lord. And you say, I'm not ready to go yet. Well, you ain't moving out tonight, as far as I know. And you get ready to move out, you're probably ready to go if you know the Lord. Amen. When a Christian dies, that's what happens. Now, that's why that it's important that while we're living in this tent, this tabernacle, it's important not only the inside, but it's important on the outside, what we do and what we don't do. If you come by a house, the yard's about this high, and furniture sitting out in the yard, and 15 or 20 old junk cars sitting around, look like you'd hardly get in the house, you'd say, boy, they don't take too good care of their property the Lord's given. But you go by, and the yard's mowed. A house may not be fancy, but it's kept up. Flowers planted, trees trimmed. You go by there, and you see, boy, they love their place. And that's good testimony. So when our tent that we live in, it's important how we live in it, what we do, where we go, what we say, that's important. Why? Because if we don't tend to the outside right, nobody's going to want to go with us to that new country. You remember Lot? Lot didn't tend to the outside. Lot went somewhere he shouldn't have went. But when Lot found out the Lord was coming and he didn't have much time, he went to his son-in-laws and he said, hey, y'all need to get ready. He said, the Lord's coming. And the Bible said he seemed as one that mocked them. In other words, they didn't believe him because of the way he lived, what he'd done. They didn't believe him. So the Bible tells us, Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove those things which are good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Bible tells us in James 4 and 4, the Bible tells us friendship with this world is enmity with God. That word enmity means at war. In other words, if we are friends with this world and we love this world, we're at war with God. The Bible tells us that we are not to be spotted by this world, James 1:27. Though sometimes we get spotted, I'm glad I know the one that's got the spot remover. Amen. But the Bible says that we're not to get spotted. We're not to get entangled with this world. 2 Timothy 3:4, don't get all tangled up in this world. And we need to live our lives like we're looking for a new world. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, talking about being pilgrims and strangers. And the Bible says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, watch it, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we're looking for one to come. Now, don't let the word stranger and pilgrims make you feel all alone. You notice that both words have a S on them, so they're plural. And we might think of this, again, as a called out assembly. I'm not the only one called out. You're not the only one called out. Believers, the church, the called out assembly, if you will, we might think of it as this way. We might think of the church as a heavenly colony on earth. Now, you always hear people say, well, be careful, don't get so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. I worry more about being so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. I don't meet too many people that's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. That's why we're to do what we're doing tonight. Hebrews 10:25, remember, we're a called out assembly. And the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly. So that's why we're getting together tonight. You say, why? Pray for each other. The Bible says pray for one another. We got back there a minute ago, and us men shared prayer requests, and he prayed for me, and I prayed for him. And you ladies do that when you go back there. We do that when we're out here. We pray for each other. In Paul's day, Paul was a Roman citizen. And in Paul's day, one acquired Roman citizenship by birth. In other words, you were born a Roman, or you purchased it by purchase, and you can, Paul alludes to that, Acts 22:26, or a gift, some dignitary just bestows it upon you. So as pilgrims and strangers, we have become citizens of heaven. How? Well, we've been born into the right family. Remember that? We've been purchased. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. And we've been given the gift of salvation. It's been bestowed upon us. So we're citizens of heaven. Let me wrap this up tonight. And talk about us being strangers and pilgrims. So as strangers and pilgrims called out of the world, called from the world, we wait to be called up into the new world, our heavenly world. That's where we're at tonight. Our head's already there. We're waiting for the time when our body, his members, will be moved up there. So we as strangers and pilgrims are realizing at any moment we may be called up to our new home, our heavenly country. And each day, like the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, had gotten that great storm. And in verse 27, he makes this great statement that I'm tying it in with us tonight. And he says, we deemed that we were drawing near to some country. That's us tonight as we travel through this world. We deem that we are drawing near to the new world, the one we're looking for. So there's a song, and I'm sure it's in one of these books. I like the song, but I never hear it sung. But it says, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home way up in glory. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. The Bible tells us that you and I are to set our affections on things above, not on the things of this world, Colossians 3 and verse 1. Squire Parsons must have been feeling that way when he wrote the song Beulah Land, my mother's favorite song. We sung it at her funeral, had it sung. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and some day on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, Beulah Land. So tonight, as pilgrims and strangers tonight, we could all be called out tonight. We could all be. Or maybe I should say it better this way. Instead of we could all be called out tonight, we could all be caught up tonight. Because the Bible said, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep in Jesus, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even those which sleep with Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. And this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The reason you feel like a stranger and a pilgrim in this world is because you are. You are. And the reason you're treated the way you're treated is because of who you are. It's an old story. I'll close with it tonight. But the old missionary spent his life over in Africa somewhere. Now he's 80-some year old. He's coming home on a ship. He's down in the bottom of the ship. His wife died. He buried her over there. Maybe some of the kids died and they buried them over there. He's coming home all alone. And he's down and out, discouraged and crying and down in the bottom and of the ship. And finally, the ship begins to dock port. And he hears a bunch of people singing and a bunch of people shouting and hollering. And he thought, somebody did remember. Somebody is waiting there for me. There is a welcoming party there. And he said he went up there to find out that a real important dignitary was on that ship. And they wasn't there for him. They was there for that dignitary. He went back down into this little cabin there and he got down on his knees and he began to cry. He said, Lord, he said, I've been gone all these years. He said, now I've come home, there ain't even nobody there to greet me. He said, the Holy Spirit said, you ain't home yet. When you get home, there'll be a welcoming committee there. Old Brother Ziegler said in the hospital room, person dies, and line goes flat, no more breathing, and their family stands around and says, there they go. But he said, over there on the other shore, for them that are saved, they're over there gathering. They say, here they come. Here they come. So we're pilgrims and we're strangers in this world. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for reminding us of just exactly who we are. Helps us understand, Lord, sometimes what we find down here in this world. And I guess if you made it too good for us, we just want to stay here all the time. But I'm glad there's a better place. And,